We'll be in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 20 in just a few minutes. But let me just say this. I love watching the Olympics. Especially, I love to watch track and ice skating, and the speed short of the track is one of my favorite ones to really watch. You know, I like watching just the sheer power that these athletes have. How they just possess this power, this God-given talent is really amazing to me as I watch them. Now, there's moments when someone emerges and wins when no one thought that they really could. You know, it goes back to the 1980 when the U.S. Hockey team beat the Russians. And there's a movie about it. If you hadn't seen the movie, it's a great movie. But I remember watching that moment and how wonderful and how it made us feel for them. And when I also look at others, just not the Olympics, you know, one of my favorite people to listen to or to watch is Susan Boyle. When she was on Britain's Got Talent, I go and watch that from time to time because it really does my heart good to see her and watch her sing. And no one expected her to sing the way that she did. But boy, when she did, it was unbelievable, the gift that the Lord had given her to be able to sing the way she did. Everyone seemed to be against her, even was laughing at her when she wanted to be like a famous individual. And even though she finished a second that year, she sold over 20 million records. And that's the old way to say it this day and time, or 20 million CDs or whatever it's called now. It just really watching her and watching her overcome some of the stuff in her life, be able to stand on a stage and be able to sing the way she did. It just moves my heart. It really moves me to tears to watch some of these things. I like watching these things when somebody's not supposed to do something and then all of a sudden they do it. We find that in the Olympics a lot. It really moves me to even to do better sometimes and to try harder or to be a better individual when I see someone else succeeding in what they have set their mind to. It makes me want to strive for the same goals in life, maybe. You know, if they can do it, that means I can do it, seems like. But Doug and Stephanie's son-in-law, Daniel, he's working towards the Olympics and track, toward the steeplechase and track. And I'm excited for him. I can't wait. I told him I can't wait to hopefully see him on the TV when that begins to happen. It's going to be exciting for the family. It's going to be exciting for ones that know him. And I can't wait to really watch him through all that. But through all of these feats, and they are great, but there is one feat that cannot be ignored today, and it's just not inclusive just to a few people that have these special gifts and special talents that can do these things. It is meant for not just for a few, but we can all strive in this victory. And we find that in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, with this first verse. We can all strive, we can all have this or possess this in the name of Jesus Christ. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his power. That's some mighty, mighty words. Mighty, mighty words. Finally, or for now on, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore, and to fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and ever prayer and a supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am a bastard in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. Isn't that some great word from the Lord today? And I'm thankful that it's not exclusive. I'm thankful that everyone can enter in this time with the Lord and be able to be strong in him. Paul uses this passage of scriptures to really sum up what he's been writing about. He just went through how to deal with the household, how to deal with many things about marriage and all these different type of things. And he wants to sum it up in this way. But he begins this letter out in Ephesians 1:19 with the three same Greek words that we find in 6:10, being strong and strength and power. Paul was looking to make sure that that the readers knew this thing right here, that the devil, the enemy, is coming after you and your family and the church. Let me just talk to you about that. Let me just say something to you from my heart today, to a person that is listening today. The devil is out to get you. The enemy is out to get you today. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to take your children. He wants to split you up. He wants you to have a problem at work. He wants you to have a problem with somebody in a grocery store line. They're always fighting. They always are trying to stir up. Is that in the nations, we see what's going on in our nations, the turmoil, and it's some of it is all for good other reasons, but there's a power behind that, the things that we see. Paul was looking to make sure that the readers know that the enemy is coming after you and your family. He's coming after the church. I've seen the churches fall. I've seen many of the churches be on a fire for the Lord and seeing their church win people to the Lord. And for whatever reason, somebody in the church begins to get stirred up. And behind the scenes, the Satan is working through someone that begins to destroy that church. It says here that we need to cultivate a Christian-like character in preparing of this conflict with the devil, with the enemy. We must put on the whole armor of God. In other words, some would say that's put on that new self that the Lord has given us to be able to stand these temptations. That we need to put on the whole armor of God. That he has not left us alone. He has not just thrown us out here and say, I hope you to do well. That the Lord wants us to live victorious. He wants us to live and be strong in the Lord and the strength of his power. This passage shows that the Christian life is a struggle against the overwhelming odds. It's like there's no way that we'll be able to fight this by ourselves. That all this evil will prevail without the strength of the Lord. Where in ancient weapons of warfare serve as an example for the spiritual forces that Paul was trying to tell us here. It also, so this scripture serves as Paul urges us to pray. I believe that at the whole armor of God is at the end of this, he says, you begin to pray. That's our theme this year, is pray and then go, to put on this armor of God. But let's go back to the first. Be strong in the Lord. It's a present, a tense verb, which means to continually seek and know God's power. It's not something that we ask for every now and then. It's not something that we need in those moments of temptation. But that's what we need every single day, 24 hours a day, is that we continually walk in his power. We continually be able to know that who is in us. It says you all. It says talking about to the church. That the church is also in the passive voice. It's a reminder that we cannot possess this ourselves. But the only thing is that God brings this strength within us. It's in the passive voice. It means there's something outer has to bring it within us. That this power is not our power. It's God's power. And I'm thankful today that I'm not alone. I'm thankful today that I'm with the end of my church body. That it reminds me that for all of us, we cannot be strong in ourselves. But only God can bring the strength that we need. We might ask the question then, what is this power? I'm happy that you asked that question within you when I was going this. I know you were asking that question because you're very smart people. What is this power that we're talking about? Well, this power is the same power that rose Jesus from the grave. This is the same power when Jesus came forth out of the grave. It's the same power that we have within us as the Holy Spirit is within us. It's the same out of power that Jesus had when he walked on the earth and temptations would come, when he was able to heal people. It's that same power that's within us. This is a crucial battle in the wartime against Satan has been won, and his fate has been determined. But for us, the war still continues because we have not yet gone all the way until one day when Jesus comes again. So that war continues for us. But Paul, through the scripture, has invited us to really join into that conflict, to join into this struggle that we have. My question is today is have you even recognized this lately on who the enemy is? It says, put on the whole armor of God. And if on this message today, I won't be going through really any of the armor of God. This is the introduction, and then we're going to pick up in later weeks on the different parts of the armor. Just put on the whole armor of God, not just some, but the whole armor of God, so that we can stand the wiles of the devil. This word here, the wiles, it really denotes a cunning, a crafting of the devil against the whole human race. It says that it can be used in many different ways. I've seen that cunning, that craftiness that the devil has used in people's lives to begin to shape and form their theology in something that is not of God. I see that often, that we see that often in our land, that somebody will come out and says, I denounce my faith. I denounce everything I've ever known. That craftiness that the devil has that can sell us lies, and we believe in that. From the very beginning with Adam and Eve, craftiness that the enemy has begins to reshape our thinking for some reason. I'm all about thinking. I'm all about learning. I'm all about all those things. But when we begin to deter from what God's total word says, the enemy has begun to craft you in a place that you want to be. Our culture that the enemy uses is that it begins to change us, begins to change the church and how we relate to people. I'm all about for the church relating to our culture, that we have to change some of the ways that we do things, but we never changed God's word. And that when sometimes the churches, sometimes the Christians think that they have to change and begin to deplete God's word to be able to win people to the Lord. That's not the case at all. I see it all often on social media. Peer pressure is a way that the enemy begins to craft and pushes us along. You know, we often think that the teenagers have this main issue, but we all have a peer pressure. And I hope today that you understand what I'm saying, that the resurrection power lives within us, that we can stand when we can. The word says stand, and again, stand on what God has called us to be. My question then is, who are we fighting, or who's the struggle against? This is where we as Christians get off track most of the time. Is we really don't even realize who we're even fighting, or who the struggle is against. You know, we recognize the power of the Lord, but we very seldom show in that power. Listen to me today. I believe this part right here, this next part right here, we recognize that there's power within us, but we don't recognize who the struggle is against or who the battle is against. And this is where we get all messed up and wrong, and how we hurt. Is our fight is not against each other. It's not against out of flesh and blood, it says here in God's word. It's not against each other. Listen to me today. Our fight is not against each other. It's not against a political party. It's not against a different race of people. It's not against a police officer or another country. Our fight is not in those things. And sometimes that's the way we come along, that we We think we're doing good. We think we're doing right. And we as Christians, again, have to recognize what's going on in the world. Are you saying that the devil is using these different people to be his tool? I'm not saying any of those things. What I have to say is we have to recognize where the battle is as Christians. Once again, I've been saying this long. When we begin to choose sides, whatever that side is, we begin to deplete on really what's going on behind the scenes. I stand for justice. Once again, whatever justice is for both sides, that's what I stand for. That's what I want to see happen in whatever situation we find ourselves in. Even in marriage counseling, I'm standing firm. I tell the husband and wife, I'm not on anyone's side here. I want to see justice happen. I want to see you come together as one. I want you to be one out of flesh again. I want you to understand that you don't have to walk alone. And that we as a Christians, we should be the voice in the room that says, I understand what's going on in this world. I understand that the devil, he's beginning to orchestrate those cunning of the craftiness to make things begin to happen. And the people begin to buy into those things and all this stuff and all this chaos begins to happen. And then all here comes along the church and we have the church wanting to write. We have the church wanting to walk with this one group and forget about this group. We have the church doing these things. And Paul's saying, no, stop it. We have to understand what we're against here. We're not against flesh and blood. I'm not against a person of color, like I'm not against a police officer that overstepped his bounds and did something terrible and killed somebody. I'm not against him. I'm not against him. I'm not against this side. I'm for God's side. I'm for what the Lord has called me to be, to understand what's going on behind the scenes of all this, what is helping to orchestrate all this. And if we as the Church of Jesus Christ could just come to the place to understand that, we can understand that and get on our knees for the Lord. At the end here, Paul talks about prayer and all these things. I hope you understand my heart again today. Is I want us to be a church that ministers to whatever side is out there. I want to be a church that stands for justice and whatever that justice is, whatever God says that is out of justice. Listen to what someone said it this way. The world's evil is, even though it's invisible, the tentacles of the have constructed a web that endangers and exploits both the oppressed and their oppressors. Isn't that interesting? Someone wrote that the tentacles of the evil of this world exploits both the oppressed and their oppressors. Political and economic systems have become what we say demonic in character. Powerful governments and businesses, even those they minister by seemingly good individuals, perpetrate injustice. In other words, political parties, whatever the case, it begins to be pushed in a way that we have to recognize the enemy that's behind it. You know, we often want to die on a hill for a political party, but won't take the time to fall to our knees to pray for all political parties. We're willing to die for them. We're willing to fight on social media for what we believe in. We want to fight against this president or that president. Whoever's in the office, we won't say, that's disgusting. He is this. He is that. I've heard it ever since I've been in the world. I voted for Ronald Reagan. I say that's who I voted for back my first time I was able to vote. And then the things that people said and the people said about his opponent. And there was a time in my life I would say awful things about our presidents. I can't stand him. Just that. Ugh. And the whole time the Lord is trying to get my attention. What this is all about. Understand me today. The Church of Jesus Christ is here. And he wants us to stand firm in truth. Listen to what one person said it this way. Opponents are not enemies, but helpless slaves of a common foe. Hope you understand what that means. In other words, when someone comes against you, recognize the power behind the moment. Fight against the spiritual forces that is going on and not the person that's trying to sow discord. If we will understand this today, life will be so peaceful for us in moments. Recognize that really, and I'll say this, that the enemy is using an individual when they don't even realize they're being used. Recognize it. Recognize that moment. Instead of fighting against them or looking bad upon them or saying or begin to gossip about them, begin to say things and fight against this person. Once I say it again, churches have been split over nothing, pretty much nothing. My father was part of the church, and some of the old-timers, they said, you know, this church is a split from the church down the road. And I was wanting, well, the old-timer, sitting here old-timer said, well, why did they split? Listen, this is why they split. This is what the old-timer said. The church, he was there. He said, it was split because an evangelist, I know the preacher, there was a disagreement on how much he should get paid. One side wanted to give him a, now this is a true story according to this guy, a bushel of peas. The other side wanted to give him a half a bushel. They could not get in agreement. They all got mad at one another, and one family left and started a church 1 mile down the road. You might say, Tim, that is kind of funny, and it is. But it's also very sad because it happens in relationships every day. It happens in marriages every day, is that we fail to realize what's going on behind the scenes, and families fall apart, churches fall apart, cities fall apart, states fall apart, and nations fall apart because we as people of God expect the government to take care of it. We expect someone else to take care of it instead of us recognizing what is happening and what the power that's behind these things. He calls us to put on the whole armor of God. The only way we're going to recognize it is that we are aware, that we know, that we are aware of what's going on. I'll say it again. The enemy is coming after you. He's coming after your family. He says, Tim, you're trying to scare us today. I'm not trying to scare you all. I'm just trying to tell you truth according to God's word. According to God's word. It's a struggle against the powers that are not of this world, but the powers behind this world. Let's learn to recognize it. Before we get so angry within, let's just stop and say, what's really happening here? What's going on here? I can choose to be angry. I can choose to say ugly things. I can choose to react to a situation. I can choose these things. And Paul was trying to get us to understand the power that lives within us, that we can rise out above these things. Relationships are lost. Relationships are lost because we didn't recognize what was going on. Do I expect believers to understand this? I don't. But how many times does we as Christians have had moments with unbelievers that we acted worse than the unbeliever because we didn't recognize what was going on? I've had people throughout my ministry say, you know what? I know some unbelievers that live better than believers. That's a sad case, isn't it? You might say, well, they're just judging. Well, I listen to unbelievers, honestly. They just tell you like it is. They kind of just see us, and they will call us out the way they see it. And so we can go through this Christian walk with a blinders on, and we can continue to live in a life of defeat. But I believe that this scripture is telling us that we can live in victory. I believe victory is there. Victory has been won. Yes, the war is still raging in so many ways, but the victory has been already told us who has won. So therefore, we can walk in that victory. We can share in that victory. We can have moments that we might get worn out and tired, but we can always recognize, hey, the victory has been won. And when we recognize those things, we can live as an athlete lives. And athletes, I've heard them say, is that they think in a way that I'm going to cross the finish line first. They think in a way that this person is not going to beat me. This person, I'm going to go and I'm going to give it my all. And if Christians would come to the place that we have the power of the resurrection living within us to be able to live a life that God has called us to live, a life of righteousness, a life of holiness, we can actually make a difference in this world instead of tearing this world down. I want the worship team to come. In the next few weeks, we will talk about this armor that the Lord has called us to. Our theme is pray and then go. In the closing moments here, he ends this whole part of scripture. He ends it with prayer. He ends it, pray in the spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert, what we've been talking about, and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. In the end of all this, Paul was saying, pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray for one another. And he says, but pray that I'll be able to share the good news of the gospel. The good news of the gospel. Have you been, I'm going to say it, a tool of the devil? We joke sometimes, I do, with people said, you've been the tool of the devil. There's times that I've been the tool of the devil as a Christian that, for whatever reason, I didn't recognize what was going on. I wasn't alert. I didn't recognize that I served the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I didn't recognize that I have the resurrection power living within me, that same power that rose Jesus from the grave. These three words, that he started to finally be strong in the Lord and the strength of his power. Recognizing that it comes from the Lord. Recognizing there's nothing that I can do. Recognize that power comes from the Lord. Let me end with this. I talked about Susan Udbol at the very beginning of this. Last year, she had an interview after years, and I think she was, you know, from 2011, I think, when she sang for the first time in front of all those thousands. And the interviewer asked her, do you consider yourself a champion? She responded this way, a champion, she said, I'm a champion to those who don't have the confidence to do things, who don't have a voice, the ones that people ignore. I am a champion for them. Maybe that's words that we need to hear as Christians. I'm a champion to those who do not have the confidence to do, who don't have a voice, the ones people ignore. I'm a champion for them. And oftentimes we say things, right, so one said the other, of the oppressed and the oppressor. We must pray for both. We must love both equally. When we lose sight of our enemy, we run over people and oppress people. You and me are champions when we realize who we are and the power given through Jesus Christ. It's a different type of champion. There might not be a big parade for us, but one day there will be when we stand before Jesus and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Can we stand alert? Can we recognize what's going on? Let's recognize what's going on in our world today. Let us be the calming voice in the room. Let's be the voice of truth in the room. And let us help lead the way we live our lives and how we champion people. That's my hope and that's my prayer. We're going to sing a King of Kings again. As Shelby comes, she's going to sing the King of Kings. And this moment, you might want in your house, your family, you might need to just bow down where you are and recognize that the enemy wants to destroy your family. Listen to me today. The Lord is speaking. Don't take this lightly. But again, Yant says, Tim, when you preach like this, somebody better listen. Don't take this lightly. It's coming. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to make you live in unbelief. I'm not trying to make you a struggle for no reason. But the word says that we struggle against these things. Not that we struggle how to live, but we struggle against the enemy. So I want you to just bow your head. Father, I pray now for this word as it goes out. I pray, Jesus, that we will take it in, Lord. That we will pray over our children, over our spouses. We will pray, Lord, over the time when we leave our houses every day, Lord, to give us the understanding of who we are in you and the power of the resurrection that's living within us. That we can go and we can love, we can champion your faith, Lord, in others, Lord. Help us to be the ones that are the source of peace and not the source of chaos, Lord. Help us to stand for justice, Lord. Don't let us so easily choose a side and forget about the ones that are hurting on the other side, Lord. Help us to be able to love the ones that are oppressed, but also love the oppressor, Lord. Help us, Father, and lead us, Lord, knowing that we have the power of your love with living within us to see lives changed. In Jesus' name.